Hello.
We're the after lunch show, so nobody's napping. Did anybody bring pillows? No? Good. So I know you're going to have a lot of questions for our three speakers this afternoon. We're going to go on time, so I want to make sure that there's time for questions. I suspect that Kathleen Liu is going to have many questions. If you have a question, please put your hand up, and our folks here will try and help it. My name's Heather. I'm on the Open Street Board, and I'm really honored to be here to have this conversation with you guys. Kathleen, over to you.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me okay? All right, great. So for those of you who might have seen this talk at State of the Map US, I did change the slides, so you won't be completely bored. I did not change the jokes, so please still, you know, laugh again. So my talk is about the compatibility of data sets into OSM based on OSM's open database license. So, this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the license, just give you a quick overview of why we're, dealing with this situation, what it is that the legal situation involving map data, but then we're going to go into sort of examples of practical advice of how to find licensed data, what to look for when you are looking at that license to see whether or not it's compatible with OSM, and of course sharing that information with the legal working group, which I am a member of, and with the community at large, so we all benefit from your research. So the disclaimer at the bottom here, this says, this is a very long acronym. What it means is I am a lawyer, but I am not your lawyer. So this is not legal advice. This is just some things that I've learned a little bit over the years, and as a member of the working group, we would like to see. Okay, so the open database license, you can go and read it. It's kind of long, it's kind of wordy. There's, it can be a bit of a headache to read. But the key things you need to remember for purposes of when you want to import data or you want to trace data into OSM is there is a share-alike clause. That means that whatever data you put into OSM needs to be sub-licensable, so like licensed back out on terms that are compatible. So if the license that the data is under, if it can't go out as ODBL, then it's not compatible. The other thing to keep in mind is if you see, I know the text is probably very small, you probably can't actually read any of that, but there are already many, many, many data sets that have been imported into OSM. And what that means is, OSM is attributing to these data sets. There's a web page, there's kind of a long list, there's a link, there's like even more lists, and of course you go into the change sets and there's, details of every little, for every little bit of data that's added. That means that to the extent that a data set has an attribution requirement, it needs to be a flexible one. And we'll talk more about what that means with some examples later. Okay, so map data. The law that protects map data is very different jurisdiction by jurisdiction. So we're here in Germany. Europe, the entire European Union, has what is called a sui generis law for protecting databases. That means it is a law specific to databases. It sets out exactly what kind of databases are protected, what they're protected from, and how long they're protected. So that is different than copyright law. Copyright law is, generally, right, it's for things like books and movies, and the scope of copyright law tends to focus on creativity. The thing about creativity is that databases tend to not be very creative. There is an argument about you know, the selection of like what attributes you include in the database, and you know how you list that information, that that might be creative. But a fact, like the fact that like this building is at this location, there's nothing creative about that. And so there is this inherent tension in map data between, you know, copyrightability and sort of the usefulness of that database. There are two sort of competing theories of copyright. One is called sweat of the brow, and it's sort of like the idea of like the more work that you have to put into something in order to create it, that is what makes it valuable and deserving of protection. And then the other theory is sort of like, you know, copyright is designed to encourage creativity. So if there's nothing creative about it, if you are gathering facts that sort of exist out in the world, then, you know, maybe that's protectable by something, but it's not copyrightable. It's not what copyright law is for. So you have in a lot of countries where there is no sui generis database protection law, there's just no copyright protection for facts at all. So like the US is a good example of a jurisdiction that has a lot of law developed on this subject. So whenever you are looking at a data set, keep in mind that what the law actually is differs from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And a lot of people are imprecise with how they describe IP and how they describe licenses. So, you know, go back to the source and look at what the license actually says, if there is a license. You know, and sometimes, you know, people will just like say that like they own something, right? Like people might have a public domain. Like a good example is Shakespeare. So all of Shakespeare's works are in the public domain because he wrote them a long time ago and he died a long time ago. But a publisher can still, you know, take a play, you know, put a nice cover on it, write an introduction, a foreword, maybe some footnotes, and then publish that book. And that book is owned by the publisher, but only the new parts that the publisher added. So they're still gonna write, you know, in the book, copyright, you know, big publisher, right? And they're, you know, not gonna tell you exactly like, you know, this is the, but you can figure it out. You can go and look, okay, well, this is the original Shakespeare, this is what's new, and you can just cut out all the new stuff, you know, toss that out, and then you have the public domain stuff that you can use. But, you know, OSM, it is a global project. It's for use by everyone for a lot of different things. And so we have to take care of it by looking carefully at what's the data that we put into OSM, because, you know, trying to take it back out, right, is a big pain. And also, you know, you might be causing trouble for other people who are using it. So this is just a be careful. So the other area of law that affects data sets and what you can import is contract law. So a contract is an agreement between you and maybe the person who gives you access to the data that you might do certain things or not do certain things. And that agreement is sort of between those two people. Now, sometimes you will not be allowed to have access to some data unless you agree to the contract, right? And you can sort of make the choice of whether or not you want to agree it. But just because it is written that, you know, the condition for access is X, doesn't mean that X applies to everyone in the world. It applies to everyone who accepts the condition, right? If somebody does not accept that condition, then they're just, that whatever protection exists is governed by what we talked about previously, right? Copyright law or database protection law. you know, sometimes you have to click on something or to access it. You know, make sure you read what it is that you're clicking on, because sometimes that'll tell you whether or not you can put it into OSM. But, you know, if you don't read, maybe you will get sued. Maybe not. Probably not. So in terms of practicalities of finding this information, right, you know, you might go onto a website. There might be like a link to some terms of service. A lot of times that's just about the website. It's not about the data. So you might have to like go find an FAQ just about the data. There might be like another page that says data license. Sometimes it's like on the page with the data. Sometimes it's like in the download file. You just have to kind of click around and look for it. And of course, other mappers have done a lot of research. So on past imports, but also sometimes mappers have looked at something and said, you know, like this is probably not compatible because, you know, I found this in the license. And so it's not imported. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of places in the wiki that have historical information that can be very useful. So this is a relatively new page that the LWG has added, where we just looked at some different, we sort of gathered the information of historically what LWG has evaluated, and put all that information onto a page. There's a lot of details into the reasoning of what the conditions are and why. This is just like a very general summary. So I encourage you to look at that. When you're looking at a license for data to see whether or not that is compatible with OSM, the main things that you should look at, these are the main things that you should look at. So as we talk about attribution, whether it's a flexible attribution, a lot of data might have like a non-commercial limitation. And for OSM, because you know anybody can use OSM, right? Companies can use OSM. They can also resell that data if they want, though you know they need to link back to OSM, so then you know other people can go and download it for free if they want. But you know a non-commercial data set, that sort of limitation is not going to be compatible. There is, this is not super common, but sometimes, especially government data sets, they might have a requirement that you like update to whatever their most recent update of that data is. And OSM, you know, we try to keep the map like with the freshest information possible, but we can't always promise to have the most recent information in there. So that sort of condition is not going to work. There is also sometimes some governments might put out a data set like this is for use within, say, Germany or within, you know, whatever country. And OSM, of course, is a global project, so the data needs to be usable in all countries. We can't have data that where the license says that it can be revoked at any time for any reason. There are certain conditions where it's okay because, you know, for example, like if you violate the license, right? Like that's a pretty common one. It can be revoked if you violate. There are also some privacy considerations. Sometimes, you know, the governments will say, well, if we accidentally release like a list of people's birthdays, we need to be able to, you know, cancel that. Fortunately, we don't map people's birthdays into the map. So that is something that, you know, you just have to look at exactly what that particular law license says. But a lot of times that can be okay. So indemnity clauses are when a license will say, like, you promise that if anybody were to sue us because of your usage of this data, you will pay, you know, to defend us, essentially. OSMF doesn't have any money. We can't afford to pay to defend anyone. So unfortunately, we can't promise that. Share-like clauses usually, in general, are just not compatible with each other. It's unfortunate, but each share-like license tends to be just written a little bit differently, and then when they each say, well, you know, everything has to be licensed under this license, and then this other license is all has to be under this license, even when they're both open licenses, they're almost never compatible. So just to give you some examples of what I've talked about here. So this is the UK's open government license. So this is version 3.0. So this part's nice and simple. This is about what you can do with the data. So you can copy it, you can reuse it, you can specifically use it commercially and with other data. So that's very nice. This is sort of the big condition on it, right? Where you have to attribute. But as you can see, it says that, you know, if you're using information from several information providers and listing multiple attributions is not practical, you can include a link. So this is an example of a very clear, flexible attribution requirement in a license, which is nice. So this is a couple of examples of what I was saying about sort of like conditions, you know, privacy protective conditions. Trademark is often carved out in these licenses. That's fine. You know, OSM is just going to sort of identify the source and not use the marks in a commercial manner. And the, you know, no warranty, that's fine. You know, OSM is not going to go and sue some data source and say, like, you know, your data was bad. So this is a previous example. This is the previous version of the Open Government License. This is version 1.0, which is not compatible with OSM. And because this previous version has this very specific attribution requirement. It was decided that it was not flexible enough. And you can see one of the big differences that there's no mention of being able to use a link and such. So another example is Canada. This is the open government license, which is adapted from the UK version. One thing that's, you know, I want to point out is this definition of personal information, which is a reference to a section of Canada federal law. So when you're looking at this, make sure to check what the license, it might be pointing to something else. In this case, there's nothing in the Privacy Act that's concerning. It's defining as sort of like what you would normally expect, you know, like birth dates and stuff like that. But you gotta follow up and go and actually find that section and read it. To make sure that it's okay. I won't read this whole thing, but if you're doing your research. Here's an example where you gotta check where the data is coming from. So this is the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, their Field Information Services section. So they have data bases under a whole bunch of different types of licenses. If you see, this one was listed as under ODBL, which is the same license that OSM is under. And it says, but it also says that it's deprecated. But then if you click on that link, you go to the updated data set, it actually says that the updated data set is public domain, which is even better. It's even more flexible and it can be used for anything. So when you are looking at these things, make sure that you check the source and make sure that you follow through and like look at everything to get the whole big picture. Here's another example also from that same web page. So this is administrative boundary data for Pakistan. And it says here that it's for humanitarian use only. Now, obviously, OpenStreetMap is used for humanitarian uses, but it's also used for a lot of other things, including commercial uses. So, you know, to check this, you go to the Pakistani Census Office where it says the data is from. You know, they talk about their data, and they talk about why. They talk about how, like, you know, they will sell the data, but you know, if you get the data, you can't give it to anybody else. And it explains that, you know, they are sort of charging different prices to different people because of how much it costs the government to obtain that data. But as you can see, they will give it to certain agencies, including the United Nations, for free. So I've been given the signal I have to talk faster. So if you find some data you don't know what the license is, you can ask the source. But don't ask them, you know, is this compatible with ODBL? Because a lot of people don't know what ODBL is. And don't ask them if the data is open, because people have different understandings of what open data is. Some people think if it's online, if you can see it, it's open. And other people think it's not open unless there are like no conditions at all. Right? So don't leave that open to your interpretation. Be really specific. You know, ask, you know, find out, you know, the things that are important to find out are things like, is it the government's data or does it actually belong to a third party and the government can't even give the permission? What are the restrictions on it? You know, ask about that. If it's public domain, that's very helpful to know. But if it's not, you know, what's the license? And if there is a potential conflict with ODBL, then ask for a waiver. So this is actually a really nice example that from Australia. And thanks to Andrew Harvey for pointing this out to me, where they actually wrote into the contract with their imagery. They would hire someone to go out and take imagery of the area. They actually wrote into it, you know, we work with OSM, and this needs to be able to go back into OSM. And so to the extent that there is a conflict with CC BY, which is the normal license that we're going to put this out under, you acknowledge that that conflict is waived. And there is an example of a CC BY waiver template in the block. And then last, make sure that when you do all this research and do all this work, that you put it back somewhere that other people can find it. You know, put it up on the wiki, include all the information, include all the links. Like, when you tell people, like, point to the specific sections of the license. Don't just link to the license, say, here's the license. You know, quote it, you know, point to the right number. And then make sure you include the document waivers as well. And I'm just gonna, these slides will be up, so if you need to look at any of these links, sorry.
Don't be sorry, Kathleen, you're a lawyer, you're detail-oriented, we need that. Truly, truly. So thanks, Kathleen. I know you're gonna have a lot of questions. And Kathleen's here, but I see that Simon's here. Who else is here from the Legal Working Group?
Is there anybody else?
I think it's just me and Simon.
Okay. When you get a chance, I know you're going to have a lot of questions. These are some resources who've been incredible
and
for they do for us.
I think there's a working group meeting this afternoon, so if you have questions for Simon and I, come find us. I think 4:30? After the break.
So after the break, with all your legal questions, take a number. Anyway, thank you again, Kathleen.